Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the 286-horsepower TL Type S with a sport-tuned suspension. Learn more at Acura.com.
Hi, this is Curtis Fox. This week on Poetry Off the Shelf, we are breaking format for the debut of the Poetry Magazine podcast. Do let us know what you think of it. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org.
I'm Christian Wyman, editor of Poetry Magazine. This week, highlights from the November issue of Poetry. I'm joined here in the Poetry offices by Don Scher, senior editor of Poetry Magazine. Hi, Don.
Hi, Chris.
We're going to look at a poem by Peter Campion today and hear him read it, and a very moving prose piece by the late philosopher Richard Rorty, something he wrote right before he died. But first, we want to go through several of the things in the issue and give a sense of what's in there, including these fascinating poems by the novelist Elfried Jelinek.
Well, most people think of her as somebody who's responsible for the movie of The Piano Teacher, or know that she won a Nobel Prize, but a lot of people don't realize that her first publications were poems, and Michael Hoffman has unearthed these things and translated them for us, and he's a brilliant translator. He says about these poems that they're like the Sex Pistols, that they're studiedly disobliging, little three-minute yells of disobligingness.
He's so good, Michael, at those phrases. Every piece of prose he writes for us has little phrases that seem like they should be in poems, actually.
And one of those little phrases is when he says that these poems are attack in its purest form. He goes on to say it's the attack of a creature yet to grow claws, the attack of something that only knows it wants to attack.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see people who become famous as novelists yet started as poets. I don't think she has continued in poetry. It's like Beckett and Joyce in that way.
No, he says that her poems were published in editions that are now safely with collectors.
Right, locked away.
Yeah. Locked away till now, and you can find them in this issue.
Another really fascinating poem that we have in this issue, going from someone who's very well established to someone who's not at all known. This summer we've been only reading poems from people who have not been in the magazine, and we've had, you know, thousands and thousands of submissions come in, and one of the ones that we took was this poem called Sweeping the States by Jacob Sines, and it's about a few years ago they rounded up, not a few years ago, it was only a year ago, wasn't it, Don, when they rounded up all those migrant workers
pretty
from the
recently.
Swift plants? Yeah.
Yeah, and things like that are still happening all over the country.
Right, and so this poem actually addresses the immigration issue, and it does so in a way that's very compelling because very musical. Let me just give you a sense of it in these first few lines. They move in swift on the swift plants in six states and sift through the faces to separate the dark from the light like meat and seat them in the back of vans packed tight like the product they pack. Wonderful the way those sounds are colliding with each other.
Yeah. And one of the things we're always trying to keep an eye out for is poetry that engages with the world. A lot of people feel like poetry kind of gets alone by itself in a room someplace or at a desk and doesn't really connect with what's going on in people's real lives, and this poem just does that, but it does it with all the kind of artfulness and strangeness and surprise that you want in a poem. So it's not just like reporting, it's not like reading the paper, it's the news that's going to stay news.
There's another young poet in the issue, isn't there? Jason Guriel. We hadn't had him, we had one poem earlier by him, but he's someone we discovered recently.
Yeah, he's a young Canadian guy, and his poem this time around is called Money is Also a Kind of Music, glancing off Wallace Stevens there a little bit. But what the poem's really about is the so-called wrecking crew that played on all these hit records in the 60s that you've got in your record collection somewhere. They played on Pet Sounds and other great stuff by the Beach Boys and many other records that people would be very familiar with.
You had a correspondence with him, didn't you, while this poem was in production?
Yeah, we were writing back and forth about this because I thought, like, I was the only one who knew who these people were, the drummer Hal Blaine or the bass player Carol Kay. And it turns out we had this in common. So we went back and forth about it. And he said, and this was very unusual, that he was fascinated by the willingness of session musicians to play the sheets in front of them just for money. And he said, there's something to that. He wrote me, he said, there's something to that, I suspect, to the ad man, the session musician, toiling away, making art out of money. And that's what this poem is about. And it starts off saying, money is also a kind of music. I don't mean the slight sleigh bell of a pocketed change purse or an old-time till's single tap of triangle ringing up sail, or even the percussion of post-pillage coffers filling up plink by plink.
Again, those sounds are just terrific in there, aren't they?
It's percussive all the way through, and it ends with the percussion of that famous drummer Hal Blaine. He says, Carol Kaye's bass drew from Capitol Records in the 60s the timesheets that took their toll and exchanged it for 4/4 time, kept without fail by the brain of drummer Hal Blaine, worth its weight in scale.
Another youngish poet that we want to turn to now, we're lucky enough to have him reading his poem, is Peter Campion. Peter is widely known as a reviewer. He's a sharp, fair, tough reviewer. He's written many reviews for our magazine. But he's also well known as a poet, and this short poem is called Just Now.
Yeah, and this is another poem that talks about things that are going on at the moment.
And manages to combine something really huge, war, with something really small, a ladybug. And it's sort of about how we think of war and think of our own existence within a kind of comfortable middle-class domesticity. This is Peter Campion.
Just now, a ladybug, its carapace blown open so a translucent trace of orange gleams from its body, has ascended, link by link, the smudgy silver curve of my watch band. It must have helicoptered past the sill while I was slumped here, squinting in the paper at the ashen packaging another bombing's made of a minivan. Made available in the photo, like the homeless in a poem. The pain is far away, but then for moments utterly clear, molten metal guttering down from the Milky Way to fall on us. And sometimes, God, it lands with all its will, my spluttered prayer for it to hold its distance. How ludicrous to blurt it from this comfort. Still, it impels itself from me. Please stay away from me. Please stay away from this insectile soul who only weeks ago was wind and shit and jasmine leaves and rain.
That's a terrific ending.
Yeah, it kind of sneaks up on you. Just when you think a poem is going to get all poetical on you, it really just grabs onto what's happening out there.
Yeah, it's visceral and tough, and I like the way the poem actually indicts itself in the middle. He says, you know, it's a very surprising line. He's just described a bombing of a minivan, but then he says it's made available in the photo like the homeless in a poem. It's a very surprising shift in that.
Yeah, it's aware of what it sounds like to be reading books and writing poems when all this stuff is going on in the world.
For a minute there, you think that the poem is saying, well, what can the poem do for me? And the poem turns up to be in a similar, sort of compared to this ladybug. You know, it's small and yet momentous.
Yeah, exactly. A sense of scale that when you read something in the paper, it seems enormous, but you're stuck with these little things in your life, and they're important too. How do you put them all together? And the poem's called Just Now. This is where we live, just now. This is what we have to contend with, and he puts it all so beautifully.
It's interesting to think of this piece in relation to the prose piece that Richard Rorty wrote for us while he was dying of pancreatic cancer. And in fact, the piece was one of the last things he wrote, and we received it about, I think it was 3 months before he died. We do this feature called The View From Here, and in The View From Here, we ask writers from various disciplines outside of poetry to comment on their experience of poetry, and we've had politicians and singers. We've got Nico Case in this issue, right?
Yeah, and you would think that a philosopher returned to philosophy for consolation and comfort. And Rorty says no. His son said to him, well, what about philosophy? And Rorty said no, because he said that the philosophy he'd read didn't have any particular bearing on his situation. So his son persisted in asking him, well, hasn't anything you've read been of any use?
Sounds desperate there, right?
Yeah.
It really is.
And Rorty said, yes, he said, yes, I found myself blurting out poetry. So naturally, his son says, well, which poems? And out comes these two old chestnuts, and one is from Swinburne, and the other's from Landor.
Yeah, the interesting thing is he uses the word chestnuts, and there is a little bit of, I mean, both those poets are sort of off the main current, and they can swoon sometimes, and yet what he quotes here has no swooning quality to it at all, does it? It's tough-minded stuff.
No, it's tough stuff. Landor's on his 75th birthday. He's got three lines in this piece, and the quoted lines are, "Nature I loved, and next to nature, art. I warmed both hands before the fire of life. It sinks, and I'm ready to depart." Yeah. At the very end of that piece, he says, and this is my favorite part of it, kind of chokes me up a little, but he says, "I now wish that I had spent somewhat more of my life with verse." And he says it's just the same as if he'd been able to make more close friends.
There's other provocative prose pieces, as well as many poets, in the November issue of Poetry Magazine. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. I'm Christian Wyman.
And I'm Don Scher. Thanks for listening.